Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Adi Mitchell is going along with the draft compensation to the Jets in the deal for Sauce Gardner that brings him to the Colts. So another player added in there as well. We were just having discussions off air. I really want to see if the contract was changed at all on this, or if the Jets, to facilitate this, were like, we're going to eat a bunch of money, because, man, that is a huge return. Sauce is awesome, and he's 25.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it, but holy moly, that is a big... This feels...
The Jets are getting two first-rounders... For A.D. Mitchell. Oh, hold on.
No.
And A.D. Mitchell.
There you go.
Gotcha. Okay.
This feels like surely one of the bigger deals in the history of the NFL trade deadline.
It would be awesome if they flipped A.D. Mitchell for two first rounders.
Back to the, it would be very draft day-esque if it went back to the Colts. They're like, we really.
Hey, thank you for this. We're going to give you those back, and we're going to keep our two. You get two dudes.
Yes.
It'd be amazing.
Now.
So what could possibly happen next?
What team
needs a player?
I mean, I just mentioned the Chargers.
What about the Cowboys?
No.
They need players.
They do. I would much rather, and I'm going to lose this. Jerry said it again this morning after he mentioned it yesterday. There are two more deals he's working on. I realize I'm going to lose this fight. I think that's a mistake. You need to go 6-2 the rest of the way. You're 3-5, and can you?
Maybe.
Theoretically, mathematically, it's possible. But I'm asking you all right here, right now. They are 3-5-1. And I mean they trade for Trey Hendrickson and Bradley Chubb.
Okay. You still need a safety.
And Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Okay. I think you're a much more talented team than you were before.
Can you go 6-2 to
close
it? You can
be average.
Then
defensively.
Why?
Average defensively.
In terms of Hendrickson. I get it. I will say I get it if the player's under contract for multiple years. I can at least wrap my mind around it. But if the player is not going to be here after next year, or is not contracted after this next year, then I don't get it, because you're going to need to go 6-2 down the stretch to be 9-7-1 and make the playoffs. At least, probably.
I think you can win 1-2-3 games for sure. For sure. Okay.
Now or with the newly constituted team?
Okay.
Okay.
Raiders, Giants, Commanders.
Agreed.
For sure.
Okay.
Now, can you get one? I had the Cowboys beating the Chiefs on Thanksgiving. I also, at the moment, I had the Cowboys at this point at 4-5.
Okay.
They are currently 3-5-1. So I feel like I was pretty damn realistic about what this Cowboys team is. Okay. I did have them beating the Chiefs. And so you would have, in my mind, you would have to pick up another one somehow. That's a tough schedule,
okay,
right there, but you have to figure out how to pick up another one. I just don't see it.
All right.
It might be the Vikings, but.
So Corey boiled it down perfectly. Then you need to go 3-2 against Philly, Kansas City, Detroit, Minnesota, and the Chargers.
And hope that none of those teams even.
Fair.
Are above you. In the grand scheme of the playoffs.
Yeah, and because like I said, you need to go.
Wild card.
I think you need to go at least 6-2, because that would put you 9-7-1. You could absolutely need to go 10-7 to make the wild card, and that would change yet again. But I think 6-2 is kind of what you focus on. So if you think the Cowboys can win those three games with an upgraded roster, and you think that they can win three of those five that we just talked about in that cluster, and they can go into the playoffs on a 6-2 run, well, then I guess I get it a little bit more. I just don't see it, and that's why I'm not a big fan of this idea.
Also, you know as well as I do, in the walls of that place right now, Jerry Jones, he said it yesterday with Stephen A. Smith, I don't want you not thinking about us.
Yeah.
If they... don't make any more moves, and they go up against the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Lions, and the Vikings in those four straight games, and they're getting slaughtered, they will be forgotten. And that's the thing he wants the least.
Okay.
And let me add this to
You're right.
And there's nobody in that in those walls that's telling him that that's okay. That we can be forgotten for four games and be relevant whenever we get all these picks.
See?
Nobody's in there telling him because they're like, okay, how do we do this for Jerry? Because they care about Jerry Jones. They do. They really, the people in that building, they're his family. There are other people in there. They really do care about him. They have respect for him, whether you do or not. But they don't have the type of feeling where they're going to say, no, Jerry, we shouldn't do that. Because he wants to win right now. He said it this morning because of his age. And they all want it for him too. That's,
you're right.
I'm not trying to defend it. I'm saying this is the reality.
You're right. And I think that's something that hopefully our show does a good job of laying out what's happening in front of you, even if you don't agree with it. And I think you just did a great job of that. All right. So here my pitch. All right. And I have a lingering email that I need to take a look at that I know disagrees with this idea. But here my pitch.
Fourth and fifth rounder for Rashid Shaheed.
Okay. Again, the sauce trade is going to ruin the rest of the day now. Because I'm going to be like, oh, you got a second round pick. Good
Shaheed
job.
Shaheed with Jackson Smith and Jigba with Sam Darnold right now is a great addition to that team.
And think about how weird it is that two teams that I don't think any of us at the beginning of the year would have been like, you better watch out for those teams being juggernauts.
For real.
Led by Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones are the ones that are making moves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're going to end up with, that's your Super Bowl. And I'm going to be like, I don't know what happened. So, my pitch would be, and you can take whatever generic player you want, because it's just kind of an abstract concept, is if you trade out players today, let's just say somebody was like, George Pickens, we want him. Here's a second round pick. All right. So, you will go into the next draft. And you're right, Corey. You're 100% right. People would stop talking about eventually. I think it would take till probably after the Philly or Kansas City game. So you'd pop your huge number for Thanksgiving. And nobody would care about your team the last five games. I get it. That's tough. But on the flip side, here's what you take into 2026. You would have two first-round draft picks. You would have two second-round draft picks. You would have another first-round draft pick in 2027. And what I will tell you is, when is the peak value of draft picks?
At draft.
At the draft is exactly right. And so if you think the Cowboys suck at drafting, and I actually don't think the numbers back that up whatsoever, but that's a different conversation for a different day, as we said. You could make other trades to strengthen your team then, when the slate is wiped clean, when you're 0-0 and you get a whole nother shot at this. And you know what? A lot of people are going to pay attention to your team when you have control of that draft. So, like, I hear you and I get it and you're right. And I bet that is the prevailing thought. You can't let us fall into oblivion even for six games, where my thought would be you're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. What is the effing point of this game? To go win the Super Bowl, or at the very least make the NFC Championship game, because I know that bothers a lot of us, myself included as well. What do you have a better shot to win the NFC Championship game if you keep all your players, maybe pick up a couple more that you gave up draft capital for, and then you see George Pickens walk and you see all these other things? Or you get out ahead of it and you're loaded with draft picks going into next year, whether that's because you want to make picks, whether that's because you want to trade up because you think there's an unbelievable impact player, or you want to trade for veterans because value of draft picks is so high at the draft. That has a significantly better chance of working. But I pitched that to Jerry on Friday, and you heard, I'll take it under advisement, essentially.
From the 520, dude, the Cowboys are forgotten. No one really cares about them.
It's not true.
When they start winning playoff games again, people will care. I live in Tucson, Arizona, surrounded by Eagles fans. Winning keeps the eye on the product.
That's false.
You know, there is a possibility that only ESPN cares about the Cowboys. But the ratings show
exactly
that everybody watches Cowboys games. And Kevin, last night, did you watch much of the lead in to the game?
No. Okay. I usually don't.
I turned it on at 5 o'clock or 5:30 or something like that after I got back from the gym, turned it on, and was like, all right, I'm going to roll into this game. Every feature was on the Cowboys. They didn't talk about Arizona at all.
Yeah.
They did nothing on Arizona. They did not care about Arizona. It was all about Dak and all about Shoddy. It was a whole 4-minute package on Shoddy. And I was like, man, that's all they care about. So in, it's not that nobody cares about the Cowboys. Jerry knows that. And but this is why he brings their name back into conversations like this.
And people do care. And there's a difference. Two things can be true at the same time. When that person said, people see through Jerry's BS. Sure, you do. But they I do. We all do. But you still watch and you still root. And I'm not going to change that because, like I said, the Cowboys were a part of my life before Jerry Jones came into the Cowboys. And they'll be a part of my life, God willing, after Jerry Jones is no longer part of the Cowboys. All right. And that's so that's why I'm not going to change. It's not because I hate when people go, oh, you Cowboys fans, you just buy into everything. No, you dip ass.
No, nope.
I thought about it ahead of time. I watched the Cowboys because I grew up and that's how I learned sports, watching the Cowboys. My older son and I, that's how he got into sports, is watching the Cowboys and the Rangers and teams like that. I don't still root for the Cowboys because I believe everything Jerry Jones says. I root for them because that's my effing team. All right. And even if they piss me off all the time because they do, I'm not going to change. Not because I don't understand. I understand. Corey understands. Alec understands. The Tolos understand. But for so many of us, that's still our team. And that's why it's infuriating. And that's why I want a radical different direction. Because I know their way doesn't work. Try my way. Give it a shot. Worked out pretty well when you did with Herschel Walker.
Yeah, the first like 30 years of the Super Bowl era, the Cowboys were very prominent.
They were in 15 of the first 30 NFC championship games.
And we that set the foundation for what I was watching and rooting for and hoping that they could get back to. The last 30 years have not been as fruitful by any means.
Yes.
And that is why I'm frustrated. But I've been frustrated with lots. I was frustrated with the Mavericks for years and they finally won a championship. And then I was frustrated with the Rangers for years and they finally won their World Series.
Yeah.
Even though Nelson Cruz had been there in game six, he was right there. He was that close.
Yeah.
And then the Stars. They haven't won one in almost 30 years.
Hey, that actually is true.
Dang it.
But like, isn't that a perfect example? Think about it. For just one second, just hear me out and send your hate mail to corey.majors@odyssey.com.
Yeah, good luck spelling Majors.
Do you know it's only been 4 years longer since the Cowboys didn't won a title than the Stars?
But they're in the conversation every year. As Choppy said, they get their mail in the championship game.
I agree. That's one option. Or the second option is just the level of viewership care is significantly lower in terms of number of fans. And that can be a good thing. That can be a bad thing. But you're right. But don't you think you would get to a point with the Cowboys if they kept... I mean, people wanted to run Tom Landry out of town in the late 60s, because they're like, well, he's not the guy to ever get you over the hump.
Then what happened?
And then he did, and everyone's like, he's the greatest coach of all time, and then people boycotted once he got fired. And so, and
they
like,
won a bunch of Super Bowls, and they were like, oh, I guess I'm back.
Yeah, and so, like, I think, because somebody just said, the goal is to create a dynasty, not win one Super Bowl. I think that's an insane opinion.
That's Choppy's opinion.
I know, and I've told Choppy.
I want to do both.
I think that's an insane opinion. You're right, but right now...
You just want one?
Oh, my God.
You just want an NFC championship game.
I mean, I want to win a Super Bowl. People, you think you know what would happen to this city. You have no idea how everything changes when the Cowboys are good. I would take a Super Bowl. And if you told me we could build off of that, great. You haven't even gotten close. You haven't even gotten into the game that gets you into the Super Bowl that you still have to win. So not only have you not won a Super Bowl, you have not been to a Super Bowl. Not only have you not won an NFC Championship game, you haven't even been to one. You're like four steps removed from even being there. So you're damn right I would take one Super Bowl.
From the 682, wow, being a Cowboys fan seems painful and toxic. I'm sorry for you, Cowboy fans, a bad marriage.
Thank you.
But that's why my marriage is so good. Because I already have an example of a bad marriage. And that's why my marriage is good.
Oh,
because I'm like, you know what? I'll never do to my marriage what the Cowboys do to me.
Yeah. And like, and from
treat it that way for the rest of your lives, you'll be all right.
From the 432, Kevin's rant is why I will never change. But people try to act like it's only the Cowboys. I sat through the Mavericks when they were literally the worst franchise in the NBA in the 90s.
Lucius
I don't
Harris.
Mean a bad. I mean the worst franchise in all of professional sports.
Robert Pack.
I sat through. Think about it. Do you know how long it took the Rangers to even make the playoffs? It was their 25th season in Texas before they made the playoffs one time. 25. And for the seasons I was alive of that, I continued to root for the Rangers no matter what. These are my teams. I don't think it's only the Cowboys. It goes, I mean, the Stars haven't really had those like same hard times that those other two franchises have had. But if you're a Rangers fan or you're a Mavericks fan, you sat through plenty of garbage and you probably still supported the team. If people can switch teams, that seems way better. I would love to just say, I'm a Chiefs fan. Yay, we're going to win the Super Bowl. That would be great. Or I would love to be like, oh, I was a Tampa Bay Lightning or Florida Panthers fan. That would be awesome if you could do that. I can't do that.
I will tell you this, though.
Don't use that as drops, you
that,
jerk.
That catalog of Kevin fandoms is getting deep right now. Because you were a Steelers fan,
oh,
but now you just admitted you're...
Son of a gun.
George McLeod. Yes, George McLeod. I was there for that, too. Somebody said they wouldn't give up the Rangers World Series for a dynasty. If I had to make that trade, I would do it.
Yeah.
I
mean, if you're telling me I get a title plus two.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
More. I'll take that. Yeah. But look, we didn't do Cowboys thank you notes. I'm sorry about that. We got into other things. So thanks for nothing yesterday, Cowboys. How about that?
The Browns are sending defensive end.
It's not Myles Garrett.
Joe Tyron Shoinka and a 7th-round pick to the Bears in exchange for a 6th-round pick.
Neat. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Dallas Cowboys beat reporter for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. It's Nick Harris next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Let's bring in Dallas Cowboys beat reporter for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and man who I wasted 5 minutes of his time by running the previous segment long. It is Nick Harris. Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, no worries. I had shot Corey a text. I was like, hey, we're still good, right? We're still good? But no, I appreciate you fellas.
Kevin went very long with
a bit of
rant.
A thing. Yeah.
Hey, sometimes you got to do it. I understand it.
Now, who do you think the Cowboys are going to trade today to get 2 first-round picks, much like the Sauce Gardner deal? What can we do to make that happen?
Yeah, right. I think Benjamin Solak from ESPN put it perfectly on Twitter. He's like, I don't think it's an insane overpay for Sauce Gardner to be worth 2 first-round picks. But I think if you look at it in the context of the Micah Parsons trade, then maybe it's an insane underpay for Micah Parsons to only be worth 2 first-round picks. So, yeah, that was a wild one. That's a blockbuster here. That was a name I did not even hear tossed around in the slightest. You know, if I thought a big star was going to get moved out of New York, I thought it would have been Garrett Wilson before Sauce Gardner.
Now, I hope this is okay to say. Sometimes Jerry just says things to say them, but do you think there is still the possibility of 1 or 2 moves in the next 2.5 hours, give or take, for the Cowboys?
Yeah, possibility, absolutely. Yeah, this team is doing a lot to try to find some help around the edge. Edge is a big priority here at the deadline for them to find an impact player, whatever that looks like. But this team is also not trying to spend premium draft capital on these edges. And they shouldn't. You know, we've talked about it as far as, you know, this team is 3-5-1. They have no business trading for an expiring contract. And if they are trading for a player, again, they need to have years left on their deal. And It doesn't really need to be that expensive. You know, how much can you get out of a guy if you're spending a second round pick or a third round pick? It's not really going to prove fruitful this year, right? So unless it's a guy like Quinnen Williams, who I'm a big fan of, since apparently the Jets are doing an estate sale, I don't see a worth in spending premium draft capital right now.
What would that look like to you in terms of premium draft capital to make Quinnen Williams happen?
I think it would be at least one first-round pick, especially given what the Jets just asked for Sauce Gardner. I mean, there's a deadline tax. You know, I think teams overpay around this time of the year in general. I think it would start with a first-round pick, and then you'd probably have to throw in a fifth-round pick. And, hey, there's this former first-round pick on the roster named Mozzie Smith that I think they would love to have, right?
What is the value of him, I guess? And also, does Jerry know that Mozzie Smith is in his third year when he says Tom Landry said wait for 3 years?
Wait for three complete years. You gotta wait for three complete years. I'm with you there. I mean, this team, it's very obvious how they feel about Mozzie Smith. I mean, not only being inactive last night, but inactive for, I believe, four other contests so far this season. I mean, it's pretty clear where the direction is heading for Mozzie Smith. And if there is a team out there that just really loved him coming out, that thinks they can, bring him back to what he was when he was coming out, then maybe they are able to get something for him. But I think even at that juncture, we're looking at a sixth, seventh round pick. I don't think it would be anything
too
premium to get Mozzie Smith.
I would make that deal in a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely. I think if you could get a bag of Lay's potato chips, I think that's worth it now for Mozzie Smith.
We have a whole bunch of bags of Lay's potato chips sitting over here in the table in the conference room. Whoa. So I think we can swing that right now if we want to.
Is there – okay, first of all, I'm thinking about that trade now. But also, was there one particular, I don't know, facet or play that stood out to you as particularly egregious yesterday? Because, man, it felt like outside of special teams, and even there was one, there were so many let down plays and drives and everything.
Yeah, you know, I point more at the offense yesterday. I think yesterday, even with the Denver performance last week, I thought yesterday was the worst performance from the offense. And if we look at it over the course of the last 2 weeks, the first team offense is averaging just 13.5 points per game. Like, that has to be something that's figured out going into the bye week. But specifically the red zone stuff. I mean, the red zone stuff was bad yesterday. The two fourth downs that they could not convert. The last one where the ball was left a little too high for left up in the air for a little too long for CeeDee Lamb, and it was just a tough to be able to get back to that ball before it was broken up. And I just thought there were some inefficiencies on late downs on both sides of the ball, not only on offense, but you talk about the third down defense. That first drive where Arizona drives down the field and they convert on four of five third downs, and then they get another third down conversion by way of penalty. I mean, you can't let that happen on late down situations. I really thought the Cowboys played well on first and second down yesterday on both sides of the ball. It's just when those third downs crept around, it felt like Arizona won about 90% of those opportunities.
Yeah, and it felt like Shotty was talking about the work they did on second and third down most of the week was because they had lacked in that area, and that was a very important area. So I was kind of surprised that third down was such a struggle for them. The battle with Deron Bland and Marvin Harrison Jr. yesterday wasn't a fun one to watch. Is that Bland? Is that what he is, or was there this just a good matchup for Harrison?
Yeah, I thought it was just a really good matchup for Harrison. You know, I think back to that Seattle game in 2023 where DK Metcalf walked in on a Thursday night and had his way with Deron Bland, and that was amidst his first team All-Pro season with all those pick sixes and leading the NFL in interceptions. But, you know, I think when it comes to Deron Bland being a cover corner and being able to match up with a guy one-on-one, I think he's relatively average. I think his value really comes into play when you're able to take advantage of his takeaway ability and get his hands involved with the game. And we saw that against Washington when they played more man coverage and it allowed him to be a little bit more handsy with guys. I like him a little bit more in the slot because he could step up and make some tackles in the backfield. I think he's one of the more sure tacklers on this team when you can catch him in open space. But, you know, as a pure cover corner, I don't think it's his strongest of abilities, and I don't think anyone would tell you that. And even when they paid him, I don't think anybody would tell you that. I think they paid him because they like the game-changing ability that he does bring at times. And we saw it against Washington, but you definitely want to see it more from Deron Bland, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
I haven't asked this all year, and I hope to never, ever have to ask it again. Were you a little tiny bit disappointed by Brandon Aubrey's field goal attempt from 68 yards.
Yeah, that was tough, right? And I feel like, you know, the crowd really got loud before that kick. And Brandon always says the crowd helps him. But then they kind of had to rush the snap, too. They got out there late. And I honestly didn't think they got the snap off. The officiating crew was kind of all over the place in multiple areas yesterday. But that one, they definitely missed. They got that snap off about a second and a half after the zeros were already on the clock. And I think that maybe rush the process or put things in the mind of Brandon a little bit too much too. So we didn't get the chance to talk to him about it after the game, but yeah, once he pushed it left, it kind of proved that it looked like it may have been a rush process, but man, if he straightened that out and was able to get it through, that was going in. It certainly had the distance.
Yeah. I claim that he didn't want to share the record. He wanted to own it.
So he was going for delay
game.
Yeah,
he was like 68. Nobody wants 68 yards. He wants 70, or somewhere between somewhere between 68 and 70, whatever that number is. Mm. The other thing though is Logan Wilson, the trade that has happened. Can we kind of, people have been asking about him and Kenneth Murray, and they're like, isn't that essentially the same player? Do you have a different feeling there?
No, it's not the same player. I think Logan Wilson gives you more from a read and react and instinct standpoint in that second level. And, you know, I think he's going to immediately compete for Kenneth Murray's starting job. And I wonder how the Cowboys juggle that, especially with DeMarvian Overshown coming back. Shamar James has played really well over the course of the last few weeks. He hasn't been perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he's a rookie that's worth keeping on the field to get playing time this season and develop for the future. Because, you know, I do believe that there's a really good reality where next season they roll out a starting trio of Logan Wilson, DeMarvian Overshown, and Shamar James. And, you know, they want those guys to have experience together. But as far as Logan Wilson goes, a tackling machine, he understands how to, you know, fill gaps. He's not perfect. And Barrett Carter, the rookie out of Clemson, ended up taking some of his snaps in Cincinnati this year. And again, that's coming from a defense that's somehow worse than the Cowboys this season.
Right.
So I think the expectations definitely need to be at a certain level. I don't think you're getting this world beater or a Leighton Vander Esch that I think Jerry Jones was trying to say on your airwaves this morning. But I think you're going to get at least a competent level of linebacker play, and that's already better than I think what you're getting in that spot right now.
I don't disagree with that either. Do you think Logan Wilson's tackling ability has degraded a bit over the last maybe season and a half?
You know, I would have to do more digging on that. I couldn't give you a straight answer there on that one just yet. But, you know, I was kind of fishing around over the course of the last week about what kind of guy Logan Wilson has been in that locker room, even despite, you know, losing his starting job. And, you know, other than the trade request, which is certainly pretty public, everything behind the scenes has been, you know, pretty even kiltered. So, you know, it's still a guy that's showing up every day. So, you know, I was curious about that whenever he had requested the trade. It's like, okay, is he, you know, kind of pissing and moaning as far as everything behind the scenes, or is he still showing up? And he was still showing up every day, which I think is good character.
The safety position.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that still a pretty desperate need? Because it seems like we're just trying to find people to play safety at the moment.
Hey, man, you can name any defensive position, and I'll probably say yes right now. As far as the safety spot, for sure. I think if there's an opportunity, you know, Micah Fitzpatrick is a name that's getting thrown around here late before the deadline. I would caution against, you know, spending premium draft capital and taking on that tax, you know, here at the deadline. But if there's an opportunity there, I think that's worth the swing, especially with a couple of years left on his deal. But with Minka Fitzpatrick, I think that would be able to solve a lot of issues that you have on the back end as far as communication goes. But unless there's a trade for a world beater there at safety, I think that's one you can rebuild through the draft at a much cheaper rate.
Does premium draft capital for you start in the third round? So is it like first, second, and third? Is that where you consider that one of the first 2 days?
Yeah, and I would maybe sneak in the fourth round there too, just because we've seen how valuable that fourth round pick has been without the Trey Lance pick and the Jonathan Mingo pick last couple of years, and the level of talent that was still available at those picks when the draft came around. So I would sneak in the fourth round as well.
Have you heard anything about Dante Fowler? Like, I know he went back in the game, then had a monster sack, of which I thought he was celebrating, but then he was also in pain because I know he bounced in and out. How's he feeling after the game? Did you hear anything there?
I did not, but credit to him for still sticking with the celebration through the pain. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Because he did the bow, and I thought he was hurt, and then I was like, oh, he's just doing a celebration. Then he came right back up, and it was like, oh, no, he actually is hurt.
Yeah, he's dealing with an elbow issue, and it kind of re-aggravated whenever he hit the ground after sacking Jacoby Brissett. Okay. So, we'll see what the results tell us today. We should know more at 3:45 from Brian Schottenheimer.
How agitating was it that he seemed like he kind of hurt himself, too, when he was definitely getting his face mask pulled on, and they didn't call a penalty on, I think, that first third down that the Cardinals converted?
Yeah, that's tough, especially when it feels like your edge room was finally coming alive last night with not only Fowler, but Ezeraku and Clowney. And you definitely want those guys to stay healthy if that's kind of the production they can give you. Five sacks yesterday from the pressure group. But overall, you hope Fowler is ready to go after the bye week.
I know you don't have the most practice times in the world on the bye week, or I guess after the bye week, but do we have a right tackle, left tackle competition? I know Terrence Steele was dealing with a migraine, but also he has not been playing particularly well. Same thing with Guyton. We saw that early in the game on fourth down. Is Nate Thomas now part of an actual competition between either one of those players?
I don't know if it's necessarily a competition. I wouldn't call it that, but I think it's a situation where both of those guys certainly need to be looking over their shoulders, because you could tell that this coaching staff is trying to find ways to get Nate Thomas snaps whenever they can. And, yesterday that worked against Terrence Steele. And, Nate Thomas was not particularly good last night. He ended up giving up five pressures in those snaps that he did play. I wonder how they juggle that. But I wouldn't call it a competition right now. I think it's more so a situation where it's like, okay, we feel comfortable about this guy being a swing tackle and potentially a starter at either of these spots moving forward. Let's try to get him some snaps in some areas that make sense. And, we've seen this offense do that with some different offensive line positions so far this season, whether it be through injury or without injury. I wonder, that is definitely something I'm keeping an eye on moving forward, no doubt.
I know you had previously brought up Logan Wilson. So any other players that we need to keep an eye out on for the next 2 hours and 19 minutes?
Yeah, I think Bradley Chubb is a name that continues. I continue to hear quite a bit, and as well as Tyree Wilson. That's a name that has continued to pick up buzz heading into the deadline. But, it's active time right now. This team is definitely searching for an edge. Those are two names. Personally, I would have liked Jordan Brooks, the linebacker out of Miami, a little bit more than Logan Wilson. But I understand if you can get Wilson for just a seventh round pick, that's worth taking a stab at. Absolutely.
Now I want to go over to Corey real quick and see if he wants to tell you his possible nickname for Bradley Chubb.
No, I'm good there. But I think we're all big Chubb guys, so I think that's something that we'll all be okay with.
That's almost as bad as one the beat had last week. Calvin Watkins, I got to give him credit for it. So TriQuez Bridges, he had the interception last week against the Broncos, and he's like, "A try called Quez," and I was like, "It's so bad that it's good." I like it.
I'm a fan. I'm not gonna lie. I like that. Well, thank you very much for the insight and time, as always, good sir.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate you always.
Try called Quez.
Mm-hmm.
Alec, I can't read how you feel about that. You might be conflicted as well. Do we say yay or nay?
I feel nothing.
Oh, no.
As Colby once said, nothing can make me feel.
Okay, that is a good point. Like when we try to convince him to watch Love Actually, we were like, it has Hans Gruber in it. There's nudity. Liam Neeson is in it. And he was like, it has love in the title. Mm-hmm. I'm not watching it.
Yep.
Can you please go ahead and give me cut number 20, because it's time for some baseball nuggets.
Smith, it's a high fly ball to deep left field. It's got a chance. It is gone. It's Will Smith in game 7.
It is Will Smith. Now remember, this is a different Will Smith, but somebody named Will Smith has won 6 straight. I almost said Academy Awards.
How long do you think that streak's going to go?
This is the last
six straight World Series, by the way.
Yeah, it's over. This is it.
This is the last one, huh?
You think it's weird that Will Smith at the Oscars went up and smashed Chris Rock in the face and they still gave him the award later?
They did.
Yeah. They were like, this is the worst thing you could ever do, but you could stay for the rest of this.
I mean, what they didn't, like, how do you change the plans that quickly?
I don't know, but it just kind of felt like if you were ever like in high school and your parents caught you and they would have been like with a girl and they're like, all right, you can go ahead and finish up, but then you guys are not allowed to see each other. That's what it felt like. All right. The World Series is, tell me you don't think that analogy makes sense, Alec.
It's just the image. I don't like it.
Yeah, that image is your fault. Aww. All right. The Smash. World Series is a hit. I'm willing to wager that this thing sticks around. The World Series, you agree? Was watched by about...
Sorry, Kevin, from the 3-2-1. Kevin is rooting for Won't Smith now.
That's not bad.
I appreciate that person.
You get me. You and Jesus.
You complete him.
All right. So for the World Series, Game 7, 26 million viewers.
And Kevin, I'm pretty sure that's American viewers.
That
doesn't include Toronto or Japan, which I'm assuming that number's got to be double that.
Yeah, you would think, yeah. Man. Yeah, you would think that. Now, this is the highest rated baseball game since Game 7 of the 2017 World Series, which drew 28.3 million.
When baseball began.
I just want, that is definitely wrong.
Right.
I just want to show you what a big difference it was for the Cubs, though. So 28.3 million in 2017 Game 7. 2016 Game 7, 40 million people watched that game.
For the Cubs?
For the Cubs and Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Everybody does.
A Cubs fan.
For sure.
I don't know
or
why.
At least you're interested in empathy. Seeing what happens.
They felt empathy for the Cubs fans. And because, so they're like, yeah.
Which sucks for Cleveland because Cleveland hasn't won a World Series in forever. And nobody watched that and going, man, I really hope Cleveland gets the job done.
Nobody cares about Cleveland.
But
unfortunately for
yeah,
them.
Unfortunately. But yeah, 26 million people watch Game 7. So
let me ask this. Because yeah, I'm told that was on a Saturday.
Correct. It was on a Saturday.
All right. So if it had been Friday night, like I thought for a little while, if it had been Friday, Halloween, you got high school football.
And Friday is a tough TV.
You got
night.
All these things going on. Saturday, it didn't. It didn't compete with college football?
See, because I don't think there was a big super matchup at night
yeah,
that they had to worry
so
about. Because I know people will say Saturday is typically the least watched TV night, but that's for like broadcast scheduled shows and stuff. Sports seems fairly immune to a lot of this stuff. So I don't think being on a Saturday really negatively impacted it.
But also, every game in the World Series had been something fun had happened.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of set
Unless
up
you're
for
a Blue Jays fan.
Yeah, I think that kind of set up for Game 7 excitement because people were like, this has been a great series.
Agreed.
Now, I don't know that the numbers were even close throughout the series, but it was always a fun series. And yes. So Game 7 just immediately gave it a bigger sell.
And it feels like a giant win for Major League Baseball. We've talked about how ratings were up. Almost, not totally, but almost across the board throughout the playoffs. So, huge win for them.
Remember when baseball was dying?
Not really.
And Mike was very upset about that all the time.
I'm with Mike. I know people say that. Sometimes people, I'm like, what do you think dying actually means? All right. Stop. Because you're going to really care about this next story. Like, a lot. The Hall of Fame has unveiled its 8-player contemporary baseball era committee ballot. Now, this is a weird deal that they do. So it's not the Veterans Committee, but it's comprised of people who didn't make the Hall of Fame in the 10 ballots.
Okay.
For a variety of reasons.
Like Darren Woodson?
Unfortunately, yes. So part of the reason might be voters are stupid.
Yep.
But I'm going to read this in a specific way so it builds up to the people that are the most fascinating on this list. So the players on the list, Fernando Valenzuela, Gary Sheffield, Dale Murphy, Don Mattingly, Jeff Kent, Carlos Delgado, Roger Clemens, and Barry Bonds. Now, what's really interesting about this is you need to get 75% of the vote, just like the regular Hall of Fame. Here's the difference. You know how many people vote on this? 16.
Oh.
So if you can get 12 of the 16, you're in. And so those are the eight finalists for this ballot.
I saw Evan Grant comment on this yesterday.
Okay. What does he think? Does he vote? I know he regular Hall of Fame votes.
He said something like it would be difficult for me to not vote for a bunch of these guys because I already have.
Right.
Like he was basically saying like I've already done this before, so why would I change that now?
Right.
But I do need to, I'm going to have to find. Okay. Given recent classes, I'd have a hard time voting against any of these guys.
Yeah.
Voted regularly for Bonds, Clemens, Sheffield. Given newer precedents for hitters, Kent and Murphy would get votes. Guess I'd give most thought to Mattingly, Fernando, Delgado. All have great cases.
Yeah.
So that was his thought on that. It doesn't sound like he has a vote, but he's saying basically it would be difficult for him to vote against most of them.
See, for Carlos Delgado in particular, I always thought he would be a great candidate for the Hall of Very Good. I always thought he was like, oh yeah,
he's a player I always wanted on my team.
He's really good.
Right? Like that's what it was for me was I always was like, dang, why does that team happen?
And I think it's tough for him because here, let me just throw it out there.
He didn't get 500 home runs.
Well, and think about it. He was an all-star twice. He was Silver Slugger three times.
Didn't
he
get 3,000 hits.
Top five MVP twice. I don't see it for him. I think he's a damn good player that most every player would trade their career to be.
Yeah. I mean, in the 9,000 years that he played, he played from age 21 to 37. He did not accrue the composite numbers that need to be, you know, those standard numbers.
And so the one I'm curious about is Don Mattingly. Because after...
The only man... To have like 9 grand slams in a season and never have grand slams in a single grand slam ever again.
Look up that stat. It's really weird. And you can look at, I'll give you a 4-year span from 84 to 87. All-star, 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 all-star. 5th in MVP, 1 MVP, 2nd in MVP, 7th in MVP. 1 gold glove, 3 of those times.
He won an MVP.
No, I know.
No, that's what I'm saying is he won an MVP.
And then he followed it up by finishing 2nd. In the year before he won MVP, he was 5th. I realize his totality of his numbers are not where a lot of folks are. I think you can look at a time and say he was the best. He's a 6-time All-Star, 9-time Gold Glove, and he won an MVP.
I'd love to see, Kevin, how many MVP winners aren't in the Hall of Fame.
Dale Murphy won it twice.
Yeah, that's one for sure.
And he's on this ballot.
Yeah, he should be in. And so that's what I'm saying is I wonder how many have won it that aren't in. Because like Josh Hamilton's not going in the Hall of Fame.
Sure. I absolutely agree with that.
But I'm kind of curious. But he did win an MVP. And Kevin.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Also,
I'll look into it.
I got it. Don't worry about it, dude. I got this one.
So you assign the question and you're going to do the work.
Yes. I know the assignment. But the other thing about it is as far as baseball players go from my generation, he's one of the most famous ones there is. And it's not because of the Bart Simpson show that Mike calls it.
Yes.
It's not just because of that episode. I knew Don Mattingly my whole life growing up. I knew him. Not like his best friends, but like he was somebody I could pick out of a lineup. I had all those cards from the 80s, Kevin. I don't know if you know, but like the late 80s, early 90s,
junk
pretty
era.
Valuable cards.
Mm. That's some terrible.
I got a whole stack of Don Mattingly cards.
Yes.
But I know people know Don Mattingly. That classifies the same thing for me, too.
You know what's funny about that? Roger Clemens, who was also up for this, was also in that episode of The Simpsons. So fully 1/4 of this Hall of Fame group.
Barry Bonds in it?
No.
Ozzie Smith.
But fully 1/4 of this class was in that Simpsons episode. But to your broader point, doesn't it feel safe to assume that what everyone's really going to focus in on is Clemens and Bonds?
Yeah.
Like with all due respect to every other player on the list, I think people will focus in on that. It is going to be announced live December 7th which is a date that, as we know, can live in infamy on the MLB Network. So keep an eye out for that.
Kevin.
Yes.
Jordan Schultz has just tweeted.
Oh, my God.
1 minute ago.
You trade Mozzie for a conditional
center. A GIF of Mark Cuban saying, but wait, there's more.
Oh.
So keep your ears open.
Okay. Couple more baseball notes for you. The Braves did, in fact, promote Walt Weiss to be their manager to replace Brian Snitker. And then Tony Beasley, if you want to go check it out, we could probably post it as well, sent out a really nice message. He goes, I want to send out my sincere gratitude to the Rangers organization and fan base for 11 awesome years. And it goes on. And it is a really lovely message. If you want to go check it out, it closes with, I wish nothing but success to Rangers Nation. You will always carry a special place in my heart. May God bless you richly and heaven smile upon you. Much love, Bees.
I'm sad about it, dude.
I know.
I love me some Tony Beasley.
He's awesome.
I'm going to keep following him on Twitter. Here's why.
We should ask him about
Beasley. Beasley Tuesdays are the most positive days you'll ever meet.
Okay.
That Twitter follow, like, there's always something that makes you feel like, you know what, I can do today.
And I like that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Apparently, there is more to come. Maybe that news gets broken in the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Guys, we'll also do the level of concern next in The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.